police reporter brings you another true murder mystery taken from the records of the world.
Billings, Montana, the home of Jesse Ingram and his family on North 20th Street. The time, early in the evening on the night of January 28, 1930. The family consists of Mr. and Mrs. Ingram, their daughter Mildred, age 16, and their younger daughter Serena, a deaf mute.
Ma, Ma, will you ask him?
Oh, ask him yourself.
Oh, please, Ma, go on.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm sick of fighting with him.
Why, no, he won't let me go if I ask him.
You can do a lot more with him than I can.
What's all this whispering about?
It's nothing.
Something you don't want me to hear?
No, not exactly.
Well, let's hear it then.
Well, we're having a high school party and...
And you want to go, is that it?
Yes.
Who'll be there?
Oh, everybody in my class.
Just girls?
I said everybody in my class.
That means there'll be boys there, too. You can't go.
Oh, please, Daddy.
I said no, and that settles it. You know how I feel about you going around with boys?
Jesse, what's the harm?
Plenty harm. I want Mildred to study and amount to something. She can't do that if she's got boys on her mind.
Young people has got to have some fun.
She can have her fun with other girls. First thing you know, she'll get stuck on some no-good bum and marry him.
She's only 16.
You were only 17 when we got married. And Mildred ain't going to make the mistake we did. I got things planned for her. I don't want her living in no four-room shanty with a mess of brats like us. If our parents had watched us careful, we wouldn't be in the spot we're in.
We always got along all right.
Maybe you're satisfied with getting along all right, but I ain't. If I hadn't married so young, I might have amounted to something. Look at me. A switch tender in the Northern Pacific Yards who don't earn enough to support his family. You have to work in a cannon factory so we have enough to live on.
Lots of men's wives work.
That ain't no reason why I should want you slaving for a couple of bucks a week. That ain't no reason why Wildred should make the same mistake we did. And I'm going to do my best to keep her from making it.
Then she can't go to the party?
No.
I think you're the biggest killjoy I ever saw.
When you get older, you'll thank me for my interest.
Jesse Ingram, you're a mean, narrow-minded bully. You've taken the best years of my life and robbed me of my fun, and you're not going to do the same thing with Mildred. I've stood it just as long as I'm going to. She's going to that party, or I'll know the reason why.
There's a five-minute whistle, Ma.
Oh, I hear it, and I'm going to work. But when I draw my pay tomorrow, you and I are going downtown, Mildred, and buy you a nice party dress.
You don't dare.
Don't I? Wait and see.
I'm still running this family.
No, you're not. You've run it long enough. Now I'll take a hand. From tomorrow on, things will be different around here.
Your ma's hot-tempered, Mildred. She don't know what's good for you.
Well, I guess I'm old enough to know what's good for me and what isn't.
You do want to go to that party awful bad, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, can't you see I'm just looking out for your own interests when I don't let you go?
Ma says I can go, and I will.
I'm your father, and you'll do as I tell you.
Oh, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to bed.
Well, you think over what I've told you. And if you've got any sense at all...
On January 29, the people of Billings read the following in their morning papers. Father and daughter in mystery shooting. Police were called to the home of Jesse Ingram on North 20th Street early this morning. And there found the body of Mildred Ingram, age 16, lying on her bed with her head and body torn by five bullet wounds. In another room, the unconscious form of her father was lying on his bed. He, too, had been shot, the bullet entering the base of his skull. Mrs. Ingram was not at home and was later discovered at her mother's house, where she was questioned by the police.
You'll have to pull yourself together, Mrs. Ingram, and tell me what you know.
Oh, what's the use of all the questions? He killed her. I know he did.
Oh, I ain't so sure of that, Mrs. Ingram. It's pretty hard for a man to shoot himself and then hide the gun.
Well, who do you think did it?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out. Well,
why do you keep questioning me? I wasn't home last night.
Where were you?
Working on the night shift at the cannon factory.
Why didn't you go home when you got through working?
My husband and me had a fight last night, and I didn't want to go home until I was sure he'd gone to work.
But you knew there was something wrong over at your house when I come in here, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, how'd you find that out?
From my daughter, Serena.
Didn't she tell you what it was?
No.
Why not?
She can't talk. She's a deaf mute.
Can she write?
No, but I could tell from the way she acted that something was wrong.
Well, then why didn't you go home?
I didn't think it was anything serious. My husband was on a rampage, and I didn't want to get mixed up in it again.
Well, then this child knows all about it and can't tell us. Is that right?
No, I guess so.
What makes you say that?
Well, she was the only one at the house all night.
Come on, you.
What are you doing?
I'm taking this girl over to the house with me. Hey, what's the matter with her?
She's afraid.
Well, I'm sorry, but she's the only one that knows what happened, and somehow or other, I'm going to find out what she knows.
You let her alone. You want to scare her into having a fit?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Ingram, but I've got to find out what happened at that house.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. My husband killed my daughter and then tried to kill himself.
It couldn't be. Your husband couldn't have shot himself. There were no powder marks near his wound, and the gun hasn't been found.
Well, I didn't do it.
Well, I'm afraid you'll have to find some way of proving that, Mrs. Ingram.
Well, you can go down to the factory. They'll tell you I never left my bench all night.
Then there's only one person left.
Who?
Your deaf daughter.
Oh, she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I'm not so sure, Mrs. Ingram. You never can tell about dummies.
Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm blaming such a terrible thing on a poor, unfortunate deaf mute.
Maybe so. But I'm going to keep a close watch on her till this thing is settled.
At the hospital next day, Jesse Ingram regained consciousness, and the sheriff hurried over there to get his statement.
How do you feel, Ingram?
Oh, my head aches, but I'm feeling a little better.
I come over to find out how you were hurt.
Oh, I don't know how it happened.
Well, did you shoot yourself?
No, I didn't.
Well, did you see who did it?
No.
Why not?
Whoever it was must have sneaked in and shot me while I was asleep.
Well, what happened to Mildred?
I don't know. The doctor said she died.
Well, did he tell you that she was shot 5 times?
Yes.
How about that deaf daughter of yours? Do you think she did it?
No.
How do you know?
Why, she don't know how to handle a gun. I don't think she's ever seen one.
Well, there's one thing that puzzles me about this whole business. The bullets that were fired into your daughter weigh 128 grams, but the one taken from your head only weighs 30 grams.
Well, they must have been fired from different guns.
Oh, there's something screwy about this whole business. Why did the murderer fire 5 full-size 38 bullets into your daughter and only 1 quarter-size bullet into you? Come in. What is it, Chris?
The death found the gun.
Where was it?
Under the mattress of Ingram's bed.
How many shells fired?
5, Chief.
Well, that makes it all look different. As long as we couldn't find the gun, it was all a puzzle to me. But now it isn't. Are you still sticking to your story, Ingram?
I don't know nothing about it.
Well, maybe I can tell you then. You killed your daughter and then fixed a bullet by taking out most of the powder and cutting down the lead. You shot yourself with that bullet, shoved the gun under the mattress and played unconscious till this morning.
That's a lie.
You'll get a chance to prove that at your trial.
But Ingram couldn't prove it to the satisfaction of a jury. He was found guilty of murder, but the evidence being circumstantial, he escaped the gallows and was sentenced to life imprisonment. After he'd served about 2.5 years, he sent for Sheriff Howard.
Well, Ingram, what was it you want to tell me?
I got something on my mind. It's been bothering me.
Well, spill it if it'll make you feel any better.
Well, you remember I told you about the fight I had with my wife just before she went to work that night?
Sure.
Well, I didn't tell you the truth about the finish.
Is that what you want to tell me now?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Well, after my wife left, I started to talk to Mildred. I said to her, I'm your father, and you'll do as I tell you.
I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to bed.
Think over what I've told you, and if you've got any sense at all, don't you walk away from me when I'm talking to you.
But I want to be alone. Please don't bother me tonight, Father.
We've got to settle this right now. I don't want you going to bed thinking I abuse you.
Well, don't you?
You know I don't. You know you're all I've got. Haven't we been pals since you were a little shaver?
That's all over now.
You mean you're going to spoil all my plans?
I'm not going to let you spoil my life with your so-called plans. I'm going out and get a job and live the way I want to.
You can't do it, Mildred. You can't throw me over like that.
Well, I will. I've had all your bossing. I'm going to stand.
Oh, be a good girl, Mildred, and I'll let you go to the high school party.
It wouldn't be any fun now. I told you what I'm going to do, and that settles it.
Oh, don't you go away from home, Mildred. I couldn't stand it without you. Don't you know what you mean to me? You're the only thing I got. I won't let you go away. I won't let you.
You can't stop me.
Can't I? Well, we'll see about that.
I'm leaving right now.
Oh, Mildred, don't act like this.
Take your hands off me.
What's the matter?
I hate you. I hate you. That's what's the matter, and I never want to see you again.
Don't go through that door. I'm telling you, Mildred, don't go through that door.
Goodbye.
killed her, Sheriff, and dragged her up to her bed. That's the truth, and I'm glad I told you. The rest you know, and I don't care if I never get out of here.
And today, Jesse Ingram sits in the Montana Penitentiary waiting for death to release him from his memories and his conscience.
You have just heard another true murder mystery brought to you by the Police Reporter. We'll be back again soon with another Stranger Than Fiction story. Listen for us. This is a Radio Release production.